All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez.
You heard my man Jose Gonzalez. This is All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the newest edition. I just want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. When this episode drops, it'll be December 22nd, 2020, 4 days away from Christmas, Friday, December 25th. I'm excited to bring another episode to you. I'm excited to be in your ears once again. I'm excited to bring a word. I'm excited to talk to you about the couple of things I got on my mind today. It's a Christmas edition, so I definitely want to talk about my top 10 favorite Christmas songs. I'll do that a little later on. And I want to give you my top 5 favorite Christmas singers of all time. I'm going to do that a little bit later on. But seeing as we're in the Christmas spirit, we're all about giving, we're all about love, we're all about the red and the green and the bright lights and everything like that, even though in New York City, there's always bright lights, but maybe that changed a little bit during 2020 because you didn't get to see a lot of lights. You didn't get to see a lot of lights. But I want to start off talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. It says, so these three things continue, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Now, the reason why I wanted to start off with that is because I won't be talking to you again until the new year. So happy new year. Happy new year to you. Easy for me to say. For those who will be listening after the new year. Thank you for riding with us in 2020. Thank you for riding with me in 2021. But the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because the year is coming to a close. Like I said, when this episode drops, it'll be December 22nd, 2020. So you won't hear from me until January 2021. God willing, God give me life. But what I want to, you know, just talk to you about for a little bit is the fact that in 2020, there was a lot of animosity, a lot of strife, a lot of division. And the thing about 2020 is that 2020 was an election year. So, you know, in an election year, things get really, really political. Things get really heated. There's a lot of animosity, a lot of talking down to, a lot of division, a lot of strife, a lot of pointing fingers, a lot of the blame game going around. You know, people saying, well, it's your fault we're in this debt. It's your fault we're the sick. It's your fault. You know, families are the way they are. It's your fault. Through the media, it's your fault. Whatever it may be, you know, but there's a lot of blaming going around. This candidate, the fault of this candidate for the world being like this, such and such deal. Or for the other candidate, something you did 40, 50 years ago, that's the reason why we are like this right now in America. So there's a lot of blame going around, a lot of lies, a lot of propaganda, a lot of misinformation. But the thing that comes out of all that is that lies come out of all of that, hatred comes out of all that, envy, strife, you know, just things that manifest that are really ugly. And that's the reason why I wanted to talk about this verse today. The reason I picked this verse as the last verse or show of the year, you know, topic of the year, is because as we bring a close to 2020, I just want to say that the greatest thing that we have is love. And the thing about it is that we got to remember that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us because of love. And he did that so that we could unite to him, so that we could unite to God. You know, so we have that middleman to pray for. We pray in the name of Jesus, you know, and we have access to the Father. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, through his blood, through the stripes that healed us. You know, Jesus took a beating. Jesus took a whooping. Jesus took stripes here on earth, you know, to manifest our healing, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically. He took that beating upon his body so that our bodies wouldn't have to go through that. But we got to not only have faith, but believe. We got to put that in action. We got to put that word in action. To believe that those stripes have healed us. That what he did, took everything onto him away from us. So away from us is permanent sin. And it's on the cross, nailed on the cross, washed by the blood. But all that happened because of love. And, you know, love is that one thing that unites everybody. Love is that one thing that brings everybody together. Love is the thing that keeps families held up together in tough times, in times of struggle, in times of fighting. In times of disagreement and discord, times of gossip and things like that arise, love is what keeps families together. And I like to think of the world as, you know, one big family, because we're all created in the image of God. We're all created in the image and likeness of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. So if we're all created in the image of Almighty God, the Triune God, we should all be one happy, one big family. We're not always going to be happy. We're not always going to agree, but we should love each other, you know, not tear each other down, gossip about each other, be jealous of one another, be envious of one another. That's not, you know, that's not what we're called to do. That's not who we're called to be. So you got faith, you got hope, but the greatest thing of all is love. The Bible also says that without love, when you speak, you're like a clanging cymbal. The Bible says that without love, it profits you nothing to gain everything. So without love, there's a pattern here. Without love, a lot of things are void. Or you could say everything is void without love. Love is needed everything and everywhere. Every place, every part of the country, every part of the world, love is needed. A child needs to be shown love. A wife, a husband needs to be shown love. A cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a mother, a father. Everybody needs to be shown love. A friend, a stranger, a neighbor, all need to be shown love. And that's the thing right now. I just want to talk about love for a minute. Because if we think that love is the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, we're wrong. If we think that love is in a party or is in government, if we think that love resides, you know, in a company or corporation or things like that, that's not the way it goes. Those are objects, those are things, those are innate. People, that's where love resides. The heart of people, the mind of people, the soul of people, the spirit of people. That's where love resides. So we got to understand that a lot of things are going on in this earth right now. A lot of things are going on in America. And sometimes we look for love in the wrong places. Sometimes we look for love on social media. Sometimes we look for love in different things that are innate. Things that can't love us back, things that can't speak, things that can't love. So for us to look for love, we got to look for it in the right place. We got to look for love in other people. And the fact that I might be a conservative, you might be a liberal, I might be a Republican, you might be a Democrat, that's secondary. What's primary is that I'm a Christian. What's primary is that I know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me on the cross. What's primary is that I know that that love unites, because he sent his son to unite me to him, to unite me to his Holy Spirit, to unite me to his word, to unite me to his people. He sent Jesus to do that, to unite. Sent Jesus to unite all of his children. And all those who are not his children, they'll be separated in the end. We know that there's an afterlife. And we know that those that don't love him will be separated from him. But those that love him, those that love each other, how will the world know that we're real Christians? By loving each other. How will the world know that we're a real family? By loving each other. Love is that principal thing that hooks us up, that brings us together. Love is that thing that keeps us together. Love is that thing that binds us together. So, in this 2020 year, as we come to a close, as we come into a new year, you know, a lot of people say, new year, new me. Well, listen, man, a new year starts whenever you want to start. Whenever you decide to say it's going to be a new me, that's when a new year will happen. You don't have to wait for the calendar to flip to January 1st. If you want to start today and you want to say, well, I want to love God, that's your new year. I want to love my brother, my sister, that's a new year. You know what? I want to love a conservative. I want to love a liberal. That's a new year. I want to love the president, whether he's Donald Trump or Joe Biden. I want to love the vice president, whether it's Mike Pence or Kamala Harris. I want to love people, whether they agree with me or disagree with me. See, because the Bible doesn't tell me to not love somebody because they disagree with me, or to fight with them because they disagree with me. No. The Bible tells me to love my neighbor. And Jesus himself said, it's easy to love the ones who love you. But what about loving the ones who don't love you, who don't like you, who don't agree with you? Jesus said, even sinners and Pharisees love people who love them. That's the easy part. But what about when somebody doesn't agree with you? And that's really one of the things that I want to get to. That what happens when you don't agree with somebody politically? What happens when you have a different ideology than somebody? What happens when your opinion is not your opinion, but your opinion is God's fact, is the Bible? You're gonna hate the person because they agree with the Bible? Or you're gonna hate the person because they don't agree with the Bible? So what kind of world are we going to leave for our children? What kind of world are we going to leave for our grandchildren when we're setting the example of, if they don't agree with me, hate them. If they don't agree with me, fight them. If they don't agree with me, shoot them. If they don't agree with me, tear them down. If they don't agree with me, go on TV, go on social media, embarrass them. That's not the kind of world I want to leave for my three children. That's not the kind of world I want to leave for however many grandchildren God will bless me with. It's not the kind of world I want to leave. So that's not the kind of example I want to set. So for the person who's listening to me right now, you know, the Bible tells us to bear with one another and to forgive one another. That's the writing of Paul to the Ephesian church. And it's not something that hasn't been taught before Paul. Jesus taught us the same thing. We got to love one another. We got to bear one another. Bear each other's burdens. Your burden might be one thing. My burden might be another. But I got to bear them. I got to say, you know what? My brother, my sister got to struggle. I got to pray. I got to advise them. I got to counsel them. Got to sit down. Got to let them know, even though I don't agree with your take, and even though I may not agree with the way you're leading life right now, but I can tell you the way. I can give you some advice. If you want to take it, that's on you. If you don't, that's on you. But it doesn't mean I love you any less. It doesn't mean I start to hate you. It doesn't mean that I tear apart from you or tear you down just because we have some kind of difference in the way that we think. So there's been a lot of divisiveness in 2020. And people want to blame it on Donald Trump. People want to blame it on Joe Biden. People want to blame it on the Republicans. People want to blame it on the Democrats. But we all got to look inside ourselves. Like Michael Jackson said, it starts with the man in the mirror. And once you look at the man in the mirror and you say, man, can I love somebody even when they disagree with me? Or if they disagree with me, do I hate them? Have to tear them down? Do I have to go after them? Because if that's your thinking, then you got to check your heart. You got to check your mind. You got to check how you're living. You got to check your motives. Because if you wake up and you say, all those people that disagree with me today, I got to embarrass them. I got to come out. I got to make a fool of them. Negative thoughts, negative way of thinking, negative way of living. It's not the way that we're called to live. So in this highly politicized 2020, I just want to say that it's time to unite. We may not agree on everything, and we won't agree on everything. We won't agree with everything the president does. We won't agree with anything every president does. We won't agree with everything that the Senate does and Congress does. And we won't agree with everything that people in our church do, and people in our homes do, and people in our schools or our jobs. We won't agree with everything that everybody does. But that doesn't mean that we hate them. We dislike them. That doesn't mean that we come after them. That means that we got to find some self-discipline in us and say, you know what? In spite of that, I'm still going to love them. I'm still going to try to educate. You might be a liberal and you might say, well, I got to educate you, man. You're talking reckless right now. So you know what? Hit me up on Facebook, Chris Beniquez. Instagram, CG_Benz. Twitter, CGBenz. Hit me up. Message me. DM. Let me know. What you said is reckless. I don't agree with what you said. We'll talk it out. But there's no need to say, well, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to tear down everything you have because we disagree. So if you tell me that we can't disagree, then that means that I can't have a mind of my own. And I can't tell you, and I can't say, well, I'm coming after you, or I'm going to embarrass you online or something like that because I don't agree with what you say. Then I'm telling you that you can't have a mind of your own. You can't think for yourself. And that's wrong. I may want to get you to see things my way because I believe that they're correct. And you may want to get me to see things your way because you believe they're correct. But it doesn't mean that we stop loving each other. We stop taking care of each other. It doesn't mean that if I see you on the street getting beat down, I won't help you. It doesn't mean that if you see me on the street getting beat down, you won't help me. It doesn't mean that if I see you hungry, I can't give you something to eat because we disagree philosophically. It doesn't mean that if I see you starving, I can't go to the store, buy you something because we disagree philosophically. That's the way that the TV and the media and social and everybody wants to make it. Like if you're naked, I can't clothe you because you're a conservative, you're a liberal. That's one of the biggest lies coming out of 2020. A lot of lies being spread, a lot of misinformation being spread. But the biggest one of all is that we gotta act hateful and not with love. Because we disagree with somebody's thinking. We disagree with somebody's politics. That's the biggest lie coming out of 2020. It's to not love your neighbors, to not love your friends and your families, all because you don't like the right or you don't like the left. or you don't like the center. Whichever aisle you sit on, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, oh, I'm a center leftist. I'm a center right winger. I can't like people on the left. I can't like people on the right. I can't love them because they don't think like me. Well, we're not all supposed to think alike. We don't all see the Bible the same way. I could read a story. You come right behind me, read the same story. We see two different things. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means we have two different points of views. It just means that we have two different sets of eyes, different heart, different spirit, different mind, different soul. Yeah, we have the same God, but we have different ways of thinking. So you could read the third chapter of John and say, I see this. I could read it and say, I see that. Doesn't mean I put out a hit piece on you online. Doesn't mean I tell people in my family, oh man, you gotta watch out for this dude, man. Because we differ in things that are secondary. Because when it comes down to it, who we vote for, who's elected, does not determine our everyday life with each other or for each other, against each other. It doesn't determine that. What determines our lives is how we live toward God and how we treat each other. That's what determines our everyday life. Not who's in office. Who's in office is, it's a deal, it's a big deal. But what's a bigger deal is how we treat each other. What's a bigger deal is how we respect each other and love each other. What's a bigger deal is what we do in the communities, what we do in the local stores and churches, what we do in the local schools and local jobs, what we do in the local factories and the local streets. That's what really, really matters at the end of the day. Because the president ain't coming down to East New York. And neither is the vice president. No matter if you Secretary of State, Speaker of the House, you ain't coming down to my hood. So guess what? The most important thing for me is loving those in my hood. Spreading the gospel. Is letting people know. Love is the primary thing. It's number one. Without love, we're nothing. I didn't say it. I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible says. All right. Christmas time is here. It's time to shop. Maybe you're hearing this, you still haven't shopped. Maybe, you know, you're hearing this is after Christmas. Maybe you shopped. Maybe Amazon didn't drop out the packages in time. Maybe it's December 31st. You're listening to this right now. Your Christmas gift still ain't get there for your wife, your child, your husband, whoever it is. Maybe you listen to me in 2021 and Amazon still hasn't delivered that package, or USPS still hasn't gotten that package. But I want to say this though. Let's teach our children what's Christmas. Let's teach our children that it's not about the material gifts that we receive. Let's teach our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins. Let's teach them all what Christmas is really about. And that's the other thing I want to talk about right now. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So we know that's Jesus Christ. We know that the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come. So, if you didn't know, Christmas is about love. Christmas is about God the Father loving you so much that he sent down his only son from heaven, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. For the sins that you committed, for the sins that I've committed, to wash them away with his precious blood. That's what Christmas is really about. What God gave. That's why we give gifts. It's a symbolism. We symbolize that we're giving. But we turned it into this, I gotta get my gifts, I gotta receive, I gotta stack up to get what's mine. And we're losing the true essence of Christmas because we think it's about us, but we gotta realize that it's not about us. We gotta realize that it's about what was given. What was given was eternal life. What was given was Christ. So what was freely given to us, we got to freely give. Which is that message, that the message of hope, the message of love. So we got to understand the number one thing is love. That the reason why God sent the Son was because of love. The love that he got, the love that he had, the love that he has for you. That he wants to see you. After you go 6 feet in the ground, he wants to see your soul and your spirit up there with him. Right at the right hand of the Father. Love is the reason why it was all done. And I said, yeah, this is a Christmas episode. And guess what? Christmas is about love. That's what Christmas is about. I give gifts to my loved ones. My loved ones give gifts to me. We all got to know that this started from the gift, the number one gift. So let's teach our children and our grandchildren and those in our families and our friends and those who don't know what Christmas is really about. It's not about what I can give materialistically. It's about what was given to me. So yes, what was given to me was life. And now I celebrate it in this time and I recognize it by giving a gift. So it's a great symbolism. Let's just teach the symbolism behind it. Let's celebrate it. Let's love it. I had the Christmas tree up since Halloween 2020. My kids wanted to put it up. They put it up on Halloween when I got home from work. And it was there. I got inside my house and I was surprised, like, whoa, the Christmas tree is up. Because we recognize that the symbolism of Christmas brings a smile in our hearts, brings us cheer. Why? Because the symbolism of Christmas is love, and love brings on that cheer, love brings on that happiness. So that's what it's about. I just want to thank God for Jesus. I want to thank God for his love. I want to thank God for the real meaning of Christmas. I want to thank God for my wife and children. I want to thank God for my pastors, my leaders, my brothers and sisters in my local church body. And I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God that you're still alive. I want to thank God that you have another chance, another day, another opportunity. I want to thank God for love. In 2020, there was a lot of division, a lot of hate. But it's up to me, it's up to you individually to change all that in 2021. That no matter what we hear on the news, no matter what you hear on social media, just say, you know what? I'm going to choose to love. I'm going to choose to love even though I hear the worst things about government, the worst things about Republicans, the worst things about Democrats. Whether I'll hear what I'm going to hear, but I'm going to decide to love anyway. Because the people on Capitol Hill, That's not me. That's not you. I'm not the one on Capitol Hill right now signing bills and introducing bills into laws. I'm not the one on Capitol Hill right now introducing things that are not beneficial to the American people. You're not the one on Capitol Hill right now introducing bills that are not helping the American people, that are not helping the American worker, that are not helping the country. So I'm not gonna sit here and blame you. You're not gonna sit here and blame me. I'm not government, you're not in government. So all this strife and all this craziness and all this fighting and all this backbiting and all this gossip and all this stuff that's going on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Parler. We do this in vain. We got to find the right way to get things done. And the right way is through love, it's through counsel, it's through wisdom, and it's through the right connections. Knowing who to talk to, knowing when to talk, where to talk, how to talk, doing it all correctly. That's how we'll change things. Things will change when I start to change. Things will change when you start to change. But it's all got to start from a place of love. And the Bible says that God is love. So it all starts with us coming onto God. All right. Christmas time in the city. So I want to get into this. I want to talk about a couple of Christmas things here. First of all, Christmas 2020, I didn't get PS5. I'm recording this, you know, this is going to drop on December 22nd, 2020, but I can tell you that 3 days out from Christmas. I know I said 4 at the beginning. 3 days out from Christmas, I didn't get PS5. All right? I told my wife, don't get me PS5. Don't try. Too much money, you know, right now for us to do. And even if we had the money, those things are going like hotcakes because people out there with their bots, you know, ordering 10, 20, 50 of them and then selling for double the price. So it's not like I was going to get my hands on one anyway. So Christmas 2020, Chris Beniquez did not get PS5. I only know one person personally that got PS5. One guy. That was it. Shout out to Adam. You're a smart brother, man. You went and got it the day before they were officially supposed to drop. Shout out to him. He was curious, and curiosity didn't kill the cat this time. Curiosity got him that PS5 for going in before Thursday 9 a.m. on the release date. All right. So it's Christmas time in the city. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And I want to give you my top 10 favorite songs. Now, there's so many more songs that I could put here. There's so many songs that could go on this list. There's just so many songs that are on my mind. But the first 10 that come to my mind when I think about top 10 favorite Christmas songs are as follows. Number 10, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. Now, all of these songs that I'm going to name, they all have different renditions from different people. But these are the ones that I think, that I believe, are the best renditions by each person or group. Now, if you have your list, send it over to me. You know, hit me up, DM, or put it on my Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, whatever it is, however it may be. However you want to do it, put it on my wall, however it is you want to play it out, leave a comment somewhere and let me know your top 10 favorite Christmas songs. Now, this doesn't mean that these are the top 10 greatest Christmas songs of all time. These are just my 10 favorite Christmas songs. Number 10, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. Number 9, Happy Holidays by Andy Williams. Number 8, Santa Claus is Coming to Town by the Jackson 5. I love the way that Michael does this song. I love his rendition. I love his delivery on this song. You know, back when he was just a young boy. Number 7, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas by Bing Crosby. Number 6, Blue Christmas by Elvis. The flow of this song, the cadence and everything, the way that Elvis just does this is just true to Elvis. And I love it, one of my favorites. Number 5, Santa Baby by Eartha Kitt. There's no other Santa Baby that even touches or comes close to this. The way that she delivered this song, her vocals, her delivery, her style, just love it. Number 4, Let It Snow by Dean Martin, which is the song that is played in the credits of the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard, the original. Because Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie. For those of you out of it that don't know, Die Hard 2 also took place on Christmas, but that time in an airport. Again, John McClane and his wife got in trouble with some terrorists. All right, let's keep it going. Merry Little Christmas, number 3, by Sinatra. I don't even have to say his first name. You know who Sinatra is. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Sinatra. Shout out to Sinatra, whose song, New York State of Mind, is the one that plays at Yankee Stadium after every game that the Yankees play at Yankee Stadium. Shout out to him. Old Blue Eyes, Frank White. All right, number 2. I completely love this rendition of White Christmas by the Drifters. Man, and just the uniqueness of their voices, the uniqueness of their delivery on this song. White Christmas by the Drifters is my second favorite Christmas song of all time. I love it. I could listen to it so many times over and over again. Because to me, it's the uniqueness of it. It's just the way that they delivered it. Go check that out. The Drifters, White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. All right. Number 1, drum roll, please. All right. I don't have a drum roll. Okay. Number 1, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. That's my number 1 favorite song. It just always gets me up, lifts me up. You know, anytime I can listen to it in the car, whatever, you know, during the Christmas season. As soon as it hits November 12 or November 13, my son Caleb is like, hey, let's put on 106.7. They're playing Christmas music, and it got to stay there through Christmas Day. So we're listening to Christmas music in the car for about a month and a half. So by the time this episode drops, we'll be about 3 days more into Christmas music. So hopefully I get to hear the song a couple more times by December 25th. My favorite Christmas song. I love the way that she starts it. She comes out really slow. You didn't expect her to come out with all that energy, you know, after the beat drops and all that. You didn't expect what was coming. But I love the song. I love the way she sings it. Her high notes are just amazing. You know, it's just such a jolly song, such a uplifting beat and everything like that. So All I Want for Christmas, my number 1 favorite song of all Christmas songs. All right. My top 5 favorite Christmas singers of all time. Top 5. This ain't a top 10, top 5 favorite. This is just mine. If you have a list, I'm telling you right now, hit me up, comment me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Parler, whichever it is, wherever you at, you know, hit me up, let me know, hey, I would have changed this, I would have changed that. That's cool, because that's your opinion. You have your own mind, you have your own thoughts. Completely fine. If none of the 10 songs that I got are on your list, completely fine. Share them with the world, you know, get on your podcast or whatever, get on your social and, you know, let us know what's going on. But top 5 favorite Christmas singers of all time. I'm going to start out with number 5, Elvis. Elvis was a special dude. Elvis' voice is so unique. His delivery was just so great, you know, over the top. Not over the top cartoony or goofy, but over the top, as in you just can't forget it. When Elvis comes on the Christmas radio in the car while we're driving, you just instantly know it's Elvis. Like, I could just ask my son Caleb, I guess, to say, hey, man, you know, who's this? And they'll just probably listen for like 2 seconds. Oh, that's Elvis. Why? Because Elvis' voice is so unique and it's so great. All right, number four, Andy Williams. Love me some Andy Williams. Happy Holidays, one of my favorite songs. Like I said, it's number nine of my top favorite Christmas songs of all time. But not only that one, he does It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Love me some Andy Williams and Christmas songs. Number three, gotta go with Mr. Dean Martin. Let It Snow and others. Dean Martin, one of the greatest Christmas singers of all time. I love his delivery. That's really what I take away from most of the songs. That's really what I take away from most of the singers, is just their unique delivery. It's not plain. It's not manufactured. It sounds like another guy. No, you can tell that's Dean Martin when the song comes on. Love me some Dean Martin, man. Dean Martin, just one of the great ones of all time. Leader of the Rat Pack. I have Ocean's 11, the original, and I have never watched it. I seen Ocean's 11 with George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. My favorite one out of three is Ocean's 12, but I have not seen Ocean's 11. All right. Anyway, number two, Sinatra. Sinatra just got so many hits, so many great songs he made for Christmas. His own renditions are just some of the best when it comes down to it. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, I think, is the best rendition. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from Frank Sinatra, I think, is also the best one, the best rendition. But he's number two for me. He's number two. I love his voice. When he comes on, he's just so classical, because you hear the trumpets. A lot of his songs, you go back and you hear his songs, Christmas style songs, talking Christmas here, you hear a lot of trumpets. And that really separates him from the pack, because he is just, you could just tell, like, he's very, very unique to himself. He's gonna put out those trumpets, and he's gonna, you know, just come up with some ad-libs and things like that, and you just say, whoa, you know that is Sinatra right there. So Sinatra, number two for me, all-time favorite Christmas singers. And I did make a mistake, and I'm gonna own up to it right now. All right, the leader of the Rat Pack was not Dean Martin, it was Sinatra. My bad on that, y'all, my bad on that. I do gotta watch Ocean's 11, though, with Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and the boys. The leader of the Rat Pack, I'm sorry. All respect to my boy Sinatra, he was the leader of the Rat Pack. I forgot that for a minute, just slipped my mind. I'm really a Dean Martin fan. I really, really like Dean Martin too. All right, but number one, drum roll, please. Dang it, I keep forgetting I don't have a drum roll. I gotta get a drum roll. All right, number one. Number one, Bing Crosby. Mr. Bing Crosby himself. A lot of you may not know Bing Crosby. Even though I'm 34, a lot of you may be listening to this and you're older than me. Some of you listening to this are younger than me. Most of you listening are my age or around my age group. But Bing Crosby, for those of you who don't know, he's older than Frank Sinatra, older than Dean Martin, older than Andy Williams and Elvis was. He was the oldest out of my top five favorite singers. His voice was, you know, just really deep. And not only was it deep, but he could hold a great note. And he was known as Mr. Christmas. So that tells you part of the reason why he's my favorite Christmas singer of all time, because he recorded so many Christmas songs. I love his rendition, obviously, of It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. But I also like his rendition of White Christmas, not as much as the Drifters, but I also like it. I just like his overall body of work better than everybody else. Now, the best renditions of some songs, I don't think he has them, but I usually think he has the second best rendition or the third best rendition of each song that he sang. So I don't think that any of his songs, his Christmas songs, were bad. I think that all of them were good. Some of them were great. Some of them were the best. Now, the way that he delivers this, you know, some people sit back and say, well, man, that sounds too slow. It sounds, there's no tempo to it. There's no pace to it. But that's the way that, you know, that's the way that he sang. That's the way that, you know, in the 50s and in the 60s, you know, some of the music was sang like that, and he was the master of it. You know, he really mastered that slow tempo and just drew you in, you know, to hear the song and to enjoy the song. He draws me in whenever I hear one of his songs. So Bing Crosby, my favorite Christmas singer of all time. I love so many of his songs in Christmas. I could just sit back and hear a whole Bing Crosby Christmas album and just say, I'm good to go. I'll take an hour and a half drive or something like that, and I could be able to listen to a Bing Crosby Christmas album and just sit there and chill, you know, on my way to work or on my way to out of state or something like that. Who knows? But Bing Crosby, number one for me. If you got a different five, hit me up. Like I said, on social, text me, email, whatever it may be, but just let me know, hey man, I disagree with you here, I disagree with you on that, or I agree with you on all of them. So however it may be, it's just, you know, all fun, all love. Loving the Christmas season right now. Been listening to Christmas music ever since November 12th when 106.7 Light FM in New York City put it on. They do nothing but Christmas music 24/7 from mid-November up until 12 o'clock midnight on December 25th. So once that clock strikes November 26th, it's over. They're out. All right, we got a couple minutes here. I just want to finish off the show by saying a couple things here. Just going to finish off the show talking about a little bit of NFL through 15 weeks. Week 15 is over. What I saw last night, December 21st of 2020, from the Pittsburgh Steelers, a third straight loss after starting with 11 straight wins, was just nothing short of ugly and embarrassing. All right? I'll say that. I did not pick them to win the Super Bowl, but they are my favorite team. And even though they're my favorite team, I'm not going to sit here and say I pick them to win the Super Bowl every year. I'm not that kind of homer, all right? Let me get that out the way. But through 15 weeks of the NFL season, after three straight losses, for me, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the team that I thought they would be, which is a team that I believe could make it to the AFC Championship game, but I don't think will make it to the AFC Championship game. I think they'll get a win in the playoffs. Now, some of the things that I saw against the Bengals in the first quarter, they were looking to just give that game away. Botched snap by Ben Roethlisberger. Uncharacteristic interception. The defense, you know, just giving up a couple of big plays to a fourth round pick. Just some uncharacteristic things by the Pittsburgh Steelers. This week, I'm not going to sit here and say that the schedule messed us up, because the Steelers played 3 games in 12 days before this game. So their last 3 games, where they were 2-1. I'm sorry, 1-2. They beat the Ravens and then lost 2 straight. In that 3-game stretch, they have played 3 games in 12 days. So I kind of chalk that up to fatigue and exhaustion. As the late, great Kobe Bryant said, exhaustion will make a coward out of any man. All right. I believe that. I know that. You are nowhere near the person mentally or physically when you're exhausted. So Kobe Bryant definitely got that right. And I chalked that up to exhaustion, those two losses, the first two losses. I was like, they're tired. Schedule got them. It is what it is. But after being off 8 days, having an extra day off against the 2-10-1 Cincinnati Bengals, this wasn't a game they were supposed to lose. And they came out flat. But the thing is that Steelers have no run game. Benny Snell is not a good running back. James Conner is not back, and he's a bruiser. So there's no speed coming out the backfield. We are not going to keep defenses honest in the playoffs when it comes to the backfield. Now, the reason why I think we'll win a playoff game is because we will clinch the division. I mean, we already clinched a playoff berth, but the team that we get, we most likely will play them at home. Most likely, we still haven't wrapped up the division. And it'll be a tremendous fall, tremendous bungle if we lose the division to the Browns down the stretch, who we play in week 17. So, saying that, I think that the Steelers will win one game at home in the playoffs because of their defense. Their defense might score, might force a fumble, they might get a pick or two, something like that. I just believe the defense will come up big and get them one game. And what I see right now with the way that they're moving, they won't get past the second round. They won't make it into the AFC Championship game the way that I thought they would. But big things done happen. Devin Bush went out for the season with an ACL tear, and so did Bud Dupree. Robert Spillane went down, so that's 3 linebackers right there that are very important to what you do. Shout out to TJ Watt. Might be the defensive player of the year, definitely in the running. Who's definitely, you know, leading the league in sacks and holding this defense together. But my Pittsburgh Steelers right now, they're in trouble. I'll say that they are in trouble. All right, my boy Aaron Rodgers. That's my boy. I'm not going to sit here and say the Packers are my team. The Steelers are my team, but Aaron Rodgers is my favorite player. And right now, they're leading the NFC. I think that they'll hold on to the number one seed. And for them to hold on to the number one seed is huge. Because if they hold on to the number one seed and you have to go to Lambeau in 0-degree weather in January, in mid to late January, you're really at a disadvantage. If you're coming in there and you're the Rams, if you're coming in there and you're the Buccaneers, you know, warm weather teams like that, you're really at a disadvantage because you're not used to playing in that kind of environment. Tom Brady is, but some guys in Tampa Bay, on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are not. A lot of guys on the Rams are not. So these warm weather teams in the NFC, if they go down to the frozen tundra in January, mid to late, they'll really be at a disadvantage. So the Packers really, really need the number one seed, but the Saints need it more. Saints lost to the Chiefs. I'm thankful and glad that they played the Chiefs when they did, because it really helped out the Packers, helped out my boy Aaron Rodgers, and now it looks like they'll hold on to the one seed. It's not a foregone conclusion, but there's a very good chance that they'll hold on to the number one seed. So right now, from where things stand, the way things look, I think that both number one seeds will go to the Super Bowl, because obviously Pat Mahomes is unstoppable. You know, Tyreek Hill is unstoppable. Travis Kelce is unstoppable. And you got Chris Jones and Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, that can make plays and give you enough of a bandage on defense to hold people to relatively okay scores in the 20s or something like that, because the Chiefs will score 30 plus. And with the Packers having home field advantage, it's a huge deal in the playoffs for them. They've been beat at home before in the playoffs, but that happens very rarely, few and far in between. Aaron Rodgers, once Jordan Love got drafted, Aaron Rodgers said, you know what? I definitely got to step up my game. And it lit a fire under him, lit a spark under him. So Aaron Rodgers has that spark. Aaron Jones is playing well. Devontae Adams playing like a pro bowler. And home field advantage will be big and will be key for them. Who they'll play in the AFC Championship game right now, I really don't know. Drew Brees just came back. They got a good defense. They got a good offense. They'll probably hold on to the 2 seed. But we'll see. But I really think that Chiefs and Packers are going to be the Super Bowl. Before the year started, I thought it was going to be Chiefs, Seahawks, most likely. But I thought it would be the Chiefs. I either thought it was going to be the Chiefs, Seahawks, or Chiefs, Packers. And I would love to see my boy Aaron Rodgers against Pat Mahomes. The two best from a talent perspective that I have ever seen, just the way that they play the position from a talent perspective, is banana. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the latest edition of All Talks of Life with Chris Beniquez. Do me a favor, share this broadcast on your socials. Let people know about the message of love, about the message of hope. Let people know I'm a suffering Steelers fan right now. And let people know that you're having fun, that you're getting educated, that you're getting fed, and that All Talks of Life with Chris Beniquez is one of the places you're doing it. I really appreciate that. So thank you all for listening. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I want to let you know that in 2021, I'll be back. We'll still be talking. We'll be getting after it. Interesting things coming up in the world in 2021. So I'll get into it. I'll be talking about it. But everybody, be safe out there. I hope that you get everything you want for Christmas. And I hope that your new year is prosperous, is good, full of health, full of family, but most of all, full of love. So my people, I'm signing out. And until 2021, this is Chris Beniquez with All Talks of Life, and I am out of time.